Wow, thank you all for coming today. What a nice big showing. Welcome to Senate Ed's first committee bill hearing. This afternoon we have one bill on the agenda, SB 126. I am the author of the bill along with Assemblymember O'Donnell. But first we need to adopt the committee rules. All members have been provided with a copy of the rules. Members, does anyone have any question about the rules? Okay. Madam Secretary? Yes?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, sir. There is a motion. Oh, I'm sorry. We are going to establish a quorum first. Please call
the roll. We're just so excited here.
I am so excited.
Leva?
Here.
Leva here. Wilk?
Present.
Wilk here. Chang?
Here.
Chang here. Durazo? Glazer?
Here.
Glazer here. McGuire? Pan?
Here.
Pan here.
Very good. Thank you. A quorum has been established. Now, if there are no questions about the rules, we will vote on the rules. Madam Secretary, if you will please read or call the roll.
Leva.
Aye.
Leva, aye. Wilk.
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Chang.
Aye.
Chang, aye. Durazo. Glazer.
Aye.
Glazer, aye. McGuire. Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye.
We will leave it on call so that other members may have an opportunity to vote. But right now I'm going to turn the gavel over to you, Mr. Vice Chair, so that we can present. Well, I will start and hopefully Mr. O'Donnell will join us. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, good, good.
Good to see you.
You too.
I love these chairs, by the way.
Yeah, they're kind of interesting. Good to see you. We
good? We're going to hear SB 126. Senator Leva, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator Wilk, Mr. Vice Chair. I would first like to begin by thanking committee staff and all stakeholders who have come together on this measure. I would also like to acknowledge and thank Assemblymember Patrick O'Donnell, who is a counterpart and joint author, who will be presenting with me as well today. As you know, the governor recently called for swift action to resolve ongoing charter school transparency issues. Members, this measure reflects our bicameral response to the governor's call for action. The creation of charter schools was intended to support locally driven experimentation to produce better academic results than could be expanded and then could be expanded to all California students. While charter schools are unique in many ways, they are publicly funded, and yet they lack the same transparency and accountability requirements that govern other publicly funded institutions. This bill ensures that charter schools will comply with the same transparency and accountability laws that all of our other public schools currently follow. Charter school governing boards were required to comply with the same open meeting, conflict of interest, and disclosure laws as traditional public school boards. This bill will also ensure that members of charter school governing boards cannot use their positions for personal or political gain. For several years, the legislature has attempted to bring clarity to this issue. Fortunately, our Attorney General recently published an opinion clearly stating that, yes, these good government laws do apply to charter school governing boards. While the Attorney General's opinion provides much needed clarity on whether or not these laws apply to charter school governing boards, the opinion is not legally binding. Absent the measure before you today, which codifies the Attorney General's opinions, disputes will continue to happen across the state over how these laws apply to charter schools. Members, this is a fair deal and a great opportunity to solve a long-standing problem to the benefit of California students and communities. This bill is supported by teachers, school board members, labor, and civil rights organizations. To note more specifically, the California Teachers Association supports this measure, and the California Charter School Association is neutral. I will now turn over to Assemblymember O'Donnell for his remarks.
Thank you. Am I on here?
You are.
I am. Okay, thank you. I am pleased to be a joint author of this important bill. This is a good government bill. It applies good government laws to charter school operations. This bill ensures that California schools are learning centers, not profit centers. This bill seeks to ensure that the use of our precious few public school dollars are subject to transparency, common ethical practices, and good government law that is applied to other governmental operations in the state of California. The California Attorney General has very recently opined that these laws do apply to charter schools, but this bill provides added clarity. This bill protects precious education dollars, which should be used for students and schools, not to line the pockets of charter school board members. The list of charter schools with a history of fiscal mismanagement is long. Celerity, Magnolia, and Tri-Valley are some of those. Until now, these schools have received significant amounts of public money, but no accountability, and in fact, have argued that conflict of interest or transparency laws do not apply to them. We seek to change this today. Locally elected school board members have been subject to transparency and ethical standards for years. So too should charter school operations. I urge you to support this critical measure to protect all of our public schools and our public dollars. Thank you.
Here in support is Seth Bramble, sorry Seth, on behalf of CTA, Carlos Machado on behalf of the California School Boards Association, and Carlos Marquez on behalf of CSSA.
Mr. Chair and Senator, Seth Bramble here on behalf of the California Teachers Association. Pleased to support Senate Bill 126. As Senator Leyva mentioned, charter schools were established with a promise. We'll give you the freedom to innovate. You'll show us results. Like lighthouses, these were a place where you could do something a little bit different, and maybe we'd learn something from what was occurring and apply it across the entire system of public education. I was excited in a meeting of the Little Hoover Commission several years ago to hear from the director of the charter school division in Oakland Unified about a system that they called knowledge transfer, where the principals at charters and the principals at neighborhood public schools would come together and share lessons learned, and that's what was intended here, best practices. But the people cannot learn from this innovation if the people's business is being conducted in private. The establishment of charter schools was not about us, the public, yielding control to the agencies that serve us. We never intended for our charter schools to do whatever they wish with public dollars. To the contrary, we insist on retaining control and on staying informed. Having secret and private meetings about how tax dollars are being spent is not innovation. It does not benefit the system. And as Assemblymember O'Donnell mentioned, it's resulted in a number of horror stories. I'm happy to provide specific details and examples if the committee requests. What this bill is saying to charter schools is do what you want, but do it out in the open where everyone can see. Truly what this bill is saying to charter schools is dream big and think outside the box, but don't abuse the public trust and spend that money on our students. Public education must be about kids, not profits. We urge your support.
Good afternoon. My name is Carlos Machado. I'm with the California School Board Association here in support of SB 126. So SB 126 is consistent with a recommendation that a task force of the California School Board Association had issued just recently. This is the first recommendation in that report that these statutes apply to charter school boards. SB 126 clarifies that competition and innovation shouldn't occur at the expense of parents and students' participation fully within the decisions of their charter schools. Many charter schools now are complying with these statutes, many of them have agreed to comply with them voluntarily. That's through their work that they've done with their authorizer to agree to enforce and comply with these provisions. Authorizers can only do so much in terms of having the petitioner follow these statutes, and SB 126 will help to ensure that there's compliance across the board and a level playing field for those parents and students that are attending charters. This bill will ensure that they have access to meetings, that they will have access to records, and that the board members that are making decisions regarding the charter school don't have any conflicts. CSBA has been working on this issue for many years. We've worked closely with our stakeholders and also CCSA in the past, coming very close to reaching agreements in the past we're happy to see that we're all at the same table and we can reach agreement on this. And for that reason, we would ask that you would vote aye on this measure. Thank you.
Well, first, we want to make sure that we acknowledge the leadership of the governor's office and the governor's team. This was obviously not an easy process, but we are very proud to be able to share with you all today that we do think the legislation that you have before you is a balanced approach that both preserves the core autonomy and flexibility granted to charter schools under the Charter Schools Act that has allowed us to innovate, with obviously, you know, the requirement, the mandate that we should be doing our business, our work in the light of day. And the legislative process doesn't always lend itself to getting everything that you'd like, which in part is why we're not fully on board as having a support position. But we don't see any major reasons why this legislation shouldn't move forward. We're absolutely eager to codify what Mr. Machado shared. So many of our charter schools are already practicing either voluntarily or as a result of agreements with their authorizers. And we hope that clarity in statute will encourage more collaboration at the local level between districts and charters, and hopefully we'll take this cudgel off the table for our opponents to, perhaps de-escalate some of the rhetoric around charter schools being for-profit centers and our board members looking to get into this the work of public education to line their pockets. We couldn't agree with those assertions. We couldn't disagree with those assertions more vehemently. So hopefully settling this area in law will put those falsehoods to bed.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other speakers in support?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Tristan Brown with the California Federation of Teachers in strong support of this bill. We also would hope that it does specify that this is declaratory of existing law. Just, we know that's what it's doing, but it'd be nice for it to say that as well. But otherwise, urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael Young with the California Labor Federation, also here in support.
Jeff Aka, representing the Riverside County Superintendent of Schools, in support.
Casey Carlson, special education teacher, Santa Cruz, expressing my support also.
Elizabeth Esquivel with the California Association of School Business Officials. We're not formally listed on the analysis as in support, but this weekend our committee took a support position, so we have been added to the coalition letter. We appreciate Senator Leyva and Assemblymember O'Donnell taking and leading on this issue.
Great, thank you.
Ingrid Gunnell, United Teachers Los Angeles, in strong support of this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rico Tamayo, president of the Early Childhood TK-12 Council for the California Federation of Teachers. The council and its members are in support of this bill.
Thank you.
Amanda Dickey, on behalf of the California County Superintendents, we are in strong support of the bill.
Kathy McBride, representing AXA, also in support.
Renee Bayardo, SEIU California, also in support.
You got a haircut. Yeah. Looks good.
Steve McDougall, the Salinas Valley Federation of Teachers, also in support.
Nick Romley, on behalf of the San Francisco Unified School District, in support.
Ray Guerra, representing the ABC Federation of Teachers, also in support.
Barrett Snyder with the Small School Districts Association, in support.
Britt Dowdy with the Newport Mesa Federation of Teachers, in support.
Tanya Golden, ABC Federation of Teachers, in support.
Carolyn Samoa, Vice President of Para Educators, United Educators of San Francisco, in support.
Amanda Toporek, high school teacher in Berkeley and member of BFT, in support.
Jeff Freitas, Secretary Treasurer of the California Federation of Teachers, in support, and thank you for allowing this democratic process to be shown during our meet and greet lobby day.
I was wondering about that.
Pilar Oñate Quintana here for the Barona Band of Mission Indians. I'm in the no formal position zone at the moment. We might have some more questions or comments in the future, but for purposes of today, we really wanted to express our appreciation with respect to the tribal-related public record access piece. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Well, I have to commend you all. I didn't say you had to meet to it, but you all did. So you're all, no, I was going to say they're all from the education field because they follow rules, which I appreciate. Do we have any speakers in opposition? You could come forward. Is that really where you want to sit?
Well, absolutely. I'm among friends here.
I said, we don't fight.
No, of course not. Catelyn O'Halloran with the Charter Schools Development Center. And I apologize, I got my letter in late last night. We are not opposed to transparency. We are, however, opposed to a few provisions in this bill that we've discussed before when they were in other measures. This bill is not the same as the current provisions that apply to traditional districts. There are a couple items that I'll point out. For instance, the issue around whether or not I sit on a traditional school board, and we are allowed to meet wherever in our district we would like to meet. And we do that because we think that that increases transparency. We meet at other schools in our district. We meet at our city hall where it's available. And we also don't have to do a two-way transmission. And we think that putting those restrictions on charter schools is counterintuitive to some of the things that you're trying to do here by not allowing charter schools to meet at some of their other sites. So that's one of the issues we have. Another issue is that if you're going to establish some of the burdens of a public agency on charter schools, in particular the costs of the two-way transmission, those sorts of things, we think that you should be looking at some of the benefits of a public agency, and that would in particular be the state-mandated cost reimbursements. And the LAO just put out a report, I think on the 18th of the month, and it talks about all of the costs that school districts are entitled to that charter schools are not entitled to reimbursement for. So some of those things we think ought to be in there if we're going to start going down the path of really making charter schools public agencies. And lastly, I think that with all due respect to the analysis, the idea that we talk about charter schools only having Brown Act in place because their authorizers, it was part of the enforcement of authorizers, is really strong language. I wrote a charter in 2004, and I put the Brown Act in there because I thought that that was the right way to do business. No one forced me to do that, or there was no enforcement from authorizers. So I think that we're just not looking at the way charter schools really operate, and maybe taking too broad of a brush when we talk about the three charter schools you noted that had some issues. There's a lot of charter schools in the state, and they're all different. So it's hard to apply something so broadly. So those are our concerns. We do remain opposed, and again, not opposed to transparency.
So that's a good follow-up question, because the cases that the Assemblyman laid out are pretty well documented.
Sure.
LA Times material. How many charter schools are there in the state, do you know?
I don't know the exact number. Charter schools represent about 10% of school children in the state.
There's about 1,300 charters in the state of California, roughly. There's about 1,000 school districts in the state of California.
And thank you. Any other speakers in opposition? Okay, seeing none, we will pull it back to the committee for questions, comments, or concerns. Mr. Glazer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Well, I want to thank the authors, the governor, the stakeholders for working so hard on this issue. It has had a little bit of an escalated timeline, but sometimes when people are in agreement, I understand why they'd like to
like to settle it. And I know that members of the committee and others are aware that this is an area that I've had legislation in for a few years. Senator Al and I have both authored legislation on open meetings and disclosure and conflict of interest rules. And I'm pleased to see that the legislation before us mirrors, in some cases identically, mirrors many of those provisions, and I appreciate that. I would note that on conflict of interest, that there is an exception that's provided in this legislation, one in which I support, which is exempting teachers from the conflict of interest rules as long as they don't have a financial tie to the charter school. And I think that's a good change of current law, if you will, but I think one that makes sense to me. And I've seen other opportunities in the state where we've had teachers and faculty on boards and have just made sure that they don't participate in places that would create that conflict of interest. And so I'm happy to see that here. I know that there's been, you know, longstanding conflicts in this space. And I know that that what we have before us is not an attempt to answer all those conflicts. I think to Governor Newsom's credit, he has asked the superintendent of schools to formulate a task force to try to work on some of these other areas. And I'm hopeful that it will be done in a constructive way and a transparent way. There's a lot of scabs out there and scars. And so it's my hope that in the action that we take today, which I'll be supportive of, and the actions that the governor has initiated in regard to this task force, that in the coming year at least, that we can have some peace in this space, and that we've taken care of some immediate issues today or in a few days when it passes the legislature, and we'll have further discussions in this sensitive area where there's good meaning on all sides to try to do what's best for the kids. And as a witness earlier in this hearing indicated, measures like this don't get everybody everything that they want. It's an attempt to try to find that balance, and I credit the authors and the governor for attempting to do that here. And it's my hope that we can have some relative peace in this space for the year ahead as we continue to talk and work out these issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Glaser. Senator Pan?
Well, thank you so very much. And I, too, want to thank the authors for bringing this bill forward, and also want to thank the governor and the various stakeholders. You know, having served on the Education Committee for, I guess, the past 4 years, this has been a repeated issue where, frankly, you know, there wasn't clear law about conflict of interest and disclosure and open meeting, and I think many people were very uncomfortable with that. And so I'm pleased to see that we've finally come to some resolution on that, and I also want to thank the Attorney General for his opinion as well. I would also make note, again, like my good friend Senator Glaser, that the Superintendent of Public Instruction, I think, is convening a group, and I then believe the governor's on board with that as well. So I'm looking forward to those kind of conversations. While I certainly always appreciate people coming before our education committee to talk about various issues, I also hope that as we're all coming together to try to figure out what we can do that's best for our students, because I know that's what we're here for, that hopefully we want to be sure we have the accountability, we want to be sure we have the transparency, and we want to ensure that our students are going to be, all of our students, I have a particular interest in special ed students, are well served by our education system. And so I hope that we can give this this body a chance to also, you know, weigh in and work out some stuff and work out some of the other issues as well, and look forward to continuing to move forward in terms of being sure that we put our kids first and we can continue to move forward on that. So thank you again for bringing this bill before us, and certainly I'd be happy to move the bill.
Thank you, Dr. Pan. Thank you, Senator Pan. Yes.
I too want to thank the governor in particular for the extra push that he put into this and to taking it where it is today, and thank Senator Leyva and Assemblymember O'Donnell for your being a part of that team to move it forward. And just want to say that the area of why I'm really glad in particular that this is being moved is I think it's it presents the right, strengthens the right of parents and their children to represent their children on whatever issues come before the boards. And I think that unless parents feel that they have enough information and the ability to challenge or ask for the information, then it holds them back. And I think unless parents and their families are truly engaged, that public education is not going to get as great as we need it to be. So anything that strengthens their rights, I think, is very important. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? I'll make some closing comments then. I agree. You know, kudos to everybody, you know, being involved. I've sat on this committee for the last 2 years along with Senator Pan and Glazer and Senator Leyva, and we've had some knockdown dragouts. And there's a lot of distrust on both sides, which I think has been unfortunate because it should be about what's in the best interest of our children. I do like the accountability and transparency measures. Agree with that. I also agree with some of the comments made by the opposition. I understand that we're probably not going to be able to get any of those issues into this particular bill because it's been negotiated, it's delicate, and it's balanced. But I hope that we do go and take a bite at the apple at a later date on some of those. So with that, no other comments. I'll allow you to close, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I just want to recognize the work that you, Senator Glazer, and Senator Allen have done in this area in the last couple of years. And I think we're just in a different and a unique moment where we have a governor who agrees with some of the things you've worked on and wants to get this process started. I would say I really appreciate that we have an opportunity to start the year off maybe on a better foot than in the past. And I would say, as someone who negotiated contracts for more than a decade, if everybody walks away a little bit happy or a little bit unhappy, then we did a good job. We didn't pick winners and losers. And I look at this bill in that light. And the task force came up a couple times. I do not know anything about the task force, too much information. What I've been told is it will focus on the fiscal impact of charter schools. So I, too, wait to see how that plays out. But I thank you all for your comments and respectfully ask for an aye vote. Assemblymember O'Donnell?
I just echo the senator's comments and ask for an aye vote.
Yeah, we had a motion from Dr. Pan.
Item 1, SB 126. The motion is due pass to the floor. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Durazo?
Aye.
Durazo, aye. Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
So congratulations. The bill's out and goes directly to the Senate floor. Should I adjourn?
I need Durazo and I need McGuire to do the roll.
She hasn't taken the. You're so mean. We need to have them add on the rules.
We have the rules on call, Senator Durazo, and we please call the absent members.
I have 5-0 with the chair voting aye, vice chair voting aye. Durazo?
Yes.
Durazo, aye. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye.
7-0, and that is out. Thank you, everyone, very much for being here. We are adjourned.